Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Feige Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
Good morning. I'm not sick, Baruch Hashem. I'm a little bit stressed. Pesach is coming. I said that's the festival where women go from slavery back into slavery. How are you doing, baby?
Yeah, gee, I definitely has started. That long weekend was very necessary, but getting back into action right now.
Indeed. And maybe before, and I'm just thinking out aloud here, baby, we should do something about how to eat on Pesach. Like, you don't have to learn how to eat healthy on Pesach. And if you get it right on Pesach, when Pesach finishes, you don't have to go back. I eat Pesach all year round, but a real Pesach, where it's just fresh fruit, vegetables, clean protein. It's really, really, really
good. Really is amazing how the children actually love us.
Absolutely. So maybe we'll have a discussion about that very soon. But today we have our favorite Dr. Kassel back in the studio with us. And we are going to talk about anybody who's sobrochen and moaning about their arthritis. Because guess what? Arthritis is something that you can reverse, and arthritis is something that you can stay away from if you actually understand the disease. So we welcome you to join the conversation at 34519. That is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. Good morning, Dr. Kassel.
Morning, Andrew.
Morning, Dr. Kassel.
By the time I'm finished today, you probably won't be eating at all for
Christmas. Well, that's one way to cure arthritis, no?
Kneidels will be off the menu.
Okay.
Well, maybe that's why we keep a Chabad Pesach. We can't have the kneidels.
Exactly. Okay, we're touching the topic of arthritis.
Let's start. Arthritis, first of all, is a Greek word meaning inflammation of the joints. But this inflammation can also sometimes extend surrounding tendons and ligaments. What is the joint? The joint is covered by a capsule and it lined on the inside by a synovial membrane, which provides a lubricated fluid called synovial fluid. In the joint, there are also cartilages and menisci, and discs in the smaller joints. They serve as sponges or shock absorbers, preventing the bone from impacting on bone. Arthritis is classified according to the age at which it presents, and is actually a malady that affects you from the cradle to the grave. The factors which cause it: there are well over 100 different types of arthritis which make up the main categories, and I will discuss them five main headings. Under the age of 60, genetic or inherited factors and autoimmune factors are the main factors attacking the joints, with diet a very important overriding factor. Whereas arthritis in the above 60 age group has its origin aging process of wear and tear of the joint structure. A synovial membrane wears out, the cartilages wear out, the discs wear out, and they tear. Vertebral discs may protrude from the joint spaces and lead to irritation of the surrounding nerves and fibers. The aging of the joint structures or protrusion of the discs can ultimately lead to bone impinging on bone and thereby causing degenerative and bone disease. I will try to classify the various forms of arthritis according to age. First of all, there is juvenile idiopathic arthritis. This arthritis has a strong, almost 100% genetic component associated with an autoimmune factor. This type of arthritis, the body produces an antibody that attacks the synovial membrane directly, causing an inflammation of the synovial membrane synovitis. It presents with pain, redness, swelling of the joints, and limited movement. The onset is common in the 4 to 10 year age group, and it is more common else, but it is often insidious, with unexplained fevers for many weeks or even months, unexplained skin rashes for many weeks or months, and general malaise or weakness, preceding the actual arthritis. The most important clue to the diagnosis of idiopathic juvenile arthritis is recurrent eye inflammation. For some reason, that is also directed against the eye. And whereas this occurs in about 30% of cases, and if you remember nothing else from today, remember that if you have a child in the 4 to 10 year age group that presents with recurrent eye inflammations, uveitis, conjunctivitis, iridocyclitis, always think of underlying juvenile idiopathic. It's important to note that if the condition is diagnosed early, and this applies to every form of arthritis, treated early, the condition can be managed, and only a small number of children will advance to the adult form of arthritis, which is called Still's disease, in about 10% of cases.
So with regard, I actually didn't know that children can get arthritis. So you're saying this is not a completely genetic disease. What happens then? Is it just damage?
Managed with anti-inflammatories, and it's managed with effectives and painkillers. But the genetic component is very strong. In almost 100% of cases, you've got to get it early. If you get it too late, you have difficulty bringing it under control. You've got to use repeated doses of steroids, repeated doses of non-steroidal medicines. If you get it early, it can be controlled. It has a good prognosis. 8 or 12 starts to disappear, and only 10% of the cases.
Okay, so that was very interesting. I was going to ask you, does the child have it for life? You've answered that question.
No.
And another question I have with that is there a genetic test for it?
Unfortunately not. There are no specific abilities that it can be wrong now because I've been out of the genetic side for about 2 or 3 years. I really involved with it. As far as I know, no specific genetic test. Like a good history, a family history, which will tell you the details of family.
So you'll just know from anecdotal information from the family that all, like, other kids,
all the family. There's a family here in Glen Hazel that has the eldest daughter almost crippled, badly affected.
Very interesting. We're speaking to Dr. Cassell, and we're talking about arthritis. If you have any questions or comments, 34519 our SMS line, 061-895 our telegram number. Just a reminder that Fady and I run a WhatsApp group, and every day we just drop a little bit of anything that interests us, but will also interest you in how to lead a healthier life. Lots of our health is in our control. So if you'd like to join it, it's not spammed, it's admin run, so you can even leave it on silent, and when you're closing up to go to sleep, you could just look at the 3 minutes that we've added on. You can send an email to info@highfm.com and then leave us your name, leave us your number, and we'll join you. This is the Healthy Wealthy Show. This is 101.9 High FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You Show with Adel Kosilski and Fady Stern.
We're speaking to Dr. Cassell. We're speaking about arthritis, and we first learned about juvenile idiopathic arthritis. We're going on to our second class now, Doctor.
The second class of arthritis is the commonest one, and that's adult rheumatoid arthritis. The second commonest one. The commonest. Adult rheumatoid arthritis is also a genetic autoimmune condition with a strong genetic background. It usually commences in the 30 to 50 year age group. It is 3 times more common in females than in males, and it is related, according to latest work, to the menopause. It can start silently as well, with difficulty in the movement of the small joints, namely the fingers or toes, and it starts with it translates into difficulty in making a fist or difficulty in rising from a sitting position and becoming ambulant. These early symptoms may precede the classic joint symptoms again by many weeks or even months. The arthritis is typically symmetrical, involving the small joints of the feet, the wrist, the ankles, and it can also involve the cervical spine in the neck, the hips, the shoulder, and the knee. Multiple joints are bilaterally and symmetrically involved. The autoimmune tests are usually positive. The most important thing to take home from today about this condition is that there is a strong psychosocial link. Stress and anxiety are important in this condition. In the management of stress and anxiety is helpful in bringing the acute condition under control and also preventing the breaks. Stress, anxiety.
Do they know well? How is it? You wanted to explain that to us. Okay.
Equally important, now you know why we have the healthy you. Equally important are the dietary factors. We will also discuss that. Thirdly, important is rest, which is very, very important in getting the acute phase under control. And thereafter, exercise is vital. Early diagnosis and control in these ways will help to the effects of deformities, bone and skeleton, which are usually irreversible and progressive once they occur. So it's no good waking up to the fact that the patient has adult rheumatoid arthritis when their fingers are bent, when their toes are bent, when they're crippled and unable to walk. Won't reverse the process at that stage. It will reverse the process if we recognize the early signs that stress is a big factor in precipitating it, in causing it, that it has a strong genetic link.
Seems like the genetics plays a tremendous part in this.
I find this autoimmune condition story very, very fascinating because, I mean, there's a famous doctor, Dr. Terry Wills. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis by many doctors. She was a doctor herself and was given every medication and told that she, you know, eventually she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk at all. And through diet and exercise and, like you say, rest and, you know, breathing exercises or doing all the, she reversed her multiple sclerosis. And I think that the same holds for all autoimmune diseases.
It does. You stimulate your autoimmune system abnormally in many ways. The one is a very controversial subject of vaccinations. That's one way you can do it. The other way is when we don't control, we just get a bacterial infection or a virus infection which sets out an autoimmune response, which doesn't only attack the body. It's attacking your kidneys, arthritis, fever, your platelets, purpura or bruising, red blood cells, anemia, all pools together into one massive autoimmune breakdown before it is.
What I find complicated, though, is that when you go to most doctors, they'll tell you that your condition is not reversible and you're going to have to live like this forever.
Of course it's reversible. Reversible with what we actually believe in this program. Not reversible with multitudes of things. That doesn't actually reverse it.
Right.
I think the idea here, and I think this is, as you said, is fundamental to what we are trying to say out in the world, is that God gave you a healthy body,
yeah,
and the systems can work healthily. If they're not, you can have an invasion of a bacteria that comes from the outside or whatever it is, but if you've got a system that is looked after, that is protected, that's got the right nutrients, it's going to be able to fend it off, it's going to be able to get over it. What we're doing is that we are just like treating symptoms and never asking, what is the cause and what can I do to change it? And that's really the fundamental of a healthy you, wealthy you. That really, literally, the size of, you know, when you got a broken leg, when I had a broken leg, I didn't go to a homeopath to get some, you know, powders. I went to an orthopedic surgeon and I had to have my leg put back together again. But in most cases, when you are ill, your body is telling you something. Stand up and listen.
What you're saying is absolutely correct. Our nature and fun and graduation was by the late Professor Gere, the chairman of the World Health Organization. The subject of the talk was, the art of medicine is knowing when not to prescribe. People that's more deadlier. It comes first, actual cause of them was antibacterial come last. That's why you never get it under control.
Okay, let's go on to the third topic.
The third topic is osteoarthritis. This is largely a degenerative arthritis, aging joint structure. Get old. Often commences with aging of the synovial membrane, resulting in a reduction of synovial fluid, whose main task is to lubricate the cartilages, the meniscus, or the disc. The synovial fluid provides a smooth, slippery surface over which the bones making up the joint can glide without rubbing on each other. This type of arthritis is brought on initially by a degeneration or the thinning of the synovial membrane. But even more importantly, the cartilages and the menisci themselves often become thinner, rougher, and they even tear. Don't see the horror as a classic example. Certainly over the age of 60, that's a big risk.
Did you hear that, Dr.
Carter? Don't stop dancing, though.
Don't dance the horror.
Discs between the vertebrae may also prune, acting on the surrounding nerves and causing excruciating pain. As a result of these factors, the bony elements in the joint start to remodel, order to try and bring about stability of the joint. And this occurs classically, they cause undesirable bony outgrowths called osteophytes, which can impinge on the surrounding tissues. And the classic area for this is the neck. Who of us listening to this program have not had this terrible pain radiating down our arms? This is due to osteophytes in the neck, which impinge on the nerves of the brachiopex. Similar effects can also occur in the lumbar area of the back, where degeneration of the vertebrae causes the discs to prolapse and impinge on the surrounding spinal nerves, causing severe local and radiating pain down both legs.
This is like all sounding like bad news. I hope that you're going to tell us how we're not going to get into any one of those conditions.
We're coming right to it.
We're talking to Dr. Cussell and we're talking about arthritis. This is your time and your space to ask a question or pass a comment. 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. Okay, let's carry on.
Now we come to the crux of our show. Something that we have got control over, but we haven't got control over ourselves. Metabolic arthritis, where the most important condition under this heading is known as gout, but gout is certainly not the most common. Gout is a condition caused by the excessive breakdown of purine-containing foods, which cause increased levels of uric acid. Uric acid, when it remains behind in the blood, occupies as spikes, it has spikes which don't get excreted by the kidney. They find their way into the joints, and the classic joints that they find their way into are the big toe, the shoulder joint. Those are the two main ones. Now, what are the dietary factors that contain purines and that you have to avoid? Red meats, anchovies, sardines and mackerel, alcohol, especially beer and hard liquor, vegetables, the three main ones, four main ones, are asparagus, cauliflower, beans, dried lentils, peas, and spinach. And foods low in purines, which also help avoiding gout, are low-fat milk, yogurt, potatoes, rice, pasta, as well as nuts and peanut butter. Now, it is important to remember, and we always used to ask the students this question when we used to take them for exams, what are the main causes of gout? They used to come out with red meat, fish, as I've said. That's not the main cause of gout. The main cause of gout is obviously the uric acid level in the blood, but it can be normal, and the blood becomes hemoconcentrated. In other words, you dehydrate. I had just this sort of problem in Israel in their climate when I collapsed with dehydration and beer gout, which took days to correct because of a concentration of uric acid blood. So remember that uric acid can be normal. It doesn't mean that you don't have gout. You can certainly have gout. It can be aggravated by dehydration, or, as we have said, it can be caused by the excessive intake of purine-containing foods and liquids. These high levels of undissolved uric acid fail to be excreted by the kidneys. They form needle-like deposits in certain joints, which we have mentioned, and also can form kidney stones, uric acid stones.
So, Castle, where do oxalates come into these?
The calcium oxalate is similar to purine. Oxalate is similar to purines. It doesn't get broken down properly, and it combines with calcium in the blood to form a calcium oxalate crystal, which also is like a porcupine. It has a spike. It deposits in the kidney, and you get calcium stones. Those are the two main types of kidney stone, uric acid stone and calcium stone. And both those can deposit in joints. And the calcium oxalate, the oxalate combining with the calcium, deposits mainly in the shoulder joint.
So it wouldn't only be the meats and the wines and the alcohols, it would be even something like spinach and...
Spinach, rhubarb, whole bran. Nuts, peanuts, those are the main ones, and legumes for calcium oxalate. Peas, beans, that sort of thing.
You can get the list online.
Yeah, get the list online.
We were speaking to somebody about hyperacidity last week, and, all these things that you're saying not to eat, they're a lot, and for a lot of people, it's very, very difficult to give up on so much. One of the things I think that you're reiterating it is you're saying that you need to drink a lot of water.
You need to everybody should try and aim intake of water at least 8 to 12 glasses a day. That's the way of flushing out your system. Water intake pushes it through the kidneys, and you reduce all these levels of high uric acid, high calcium oxalate level, pure hydration.
And I think we need to push pure hydration and saying water, not six cans of Coke or four glasses of fruit juice.
and all the dietary things that you take are two-edged swords. You might take a sugar-free Pepsi and then find out that it's loaded with caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing. Water should be the main nutrient.
You know, I used to tell my kids, Dr. Pussell, when they grew up and they used to see all these things. And they would, oh, I want this one, this one. I used to say, drink water. It's Hashem's best juice. What he made it 100%. They didn't really like buying it there. I didn't think I had to give it up, but I did try it.
Possibly septic arthritis. Septic arthritis I'm not going to deal with here, because this is an associated acute finding, cases of acute bacterial or viral condition. The common viral condition that is glandular fever, there are 30 to 50% of cases that present with arthritis. Also well to remember.
So like, I feel sometimes that arthritis it seems just to be a diagnosis that a person gets when they've just got inflammation, and particularly with the joints. Like it's such a big umbrella diagnosis. Oh, I've got arthritis. What is the difference between arthritis and fibromyalgia and rheumatitis? And like they're all, I mean, all itises are inflammation, right?
They all are inflammation. They're antibodies attacking either the joint structure directly, the structures surrounding the joint, they're all interrelated, every one of them.
But there's not a direct diagnosis that you can say, well, yes, I mean, you can see from your blood if you've got elevated autoimmune levels, uric acid is high, and that will point to the diagnosis.
That will point to metabolic arthritis. Not rheumatoid will be the positive antibody test. Juvenile arthritis will also be positive tests and hereditary factors. But the important thing to take away from this program is I'm absolutely certain that there's nobody sitting here this morning and listening to what I'm saying that hasn't at some stage of their lives suffered from one or other form of arthritis.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know that I honestly have been battling that for the last, like, you know, I could have read really early, but it does, and I think that there's a lot of interplay. If you have a question, 34519 is our SMS line, 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagie Stern.
We're talking all conditions, arthritis with Dr. Castle, and after all of that diagnosis, Dr. Castle, tell us how to manage it.
The management of arthritis is not to throw a whole range of medicines at the patient. The medicines are important, but control the patient's lifestyle. That's what the management of arthritis is. Due to the diversity of its causes, arthritis has many different forms of management. The underlying themes of management will be the important factors that I'm going to outline first. We must never forget the genetic link, and a good history is very important, particularly in idiopathic juvenile arthritis and also in adult rheumatoid arthritis. And it may even be a contributing factor to osteoarthritis and the aging of the joint structures. Arthritis in the age group less than 60 years of age is significantly an autoimmune condition. Being an immune system disorder where the body produces antibodies that attacks its own structures, particularly in idiopathic juvenile and adult rheumatoid. This type of arthritis is treated with immunosuppressive drugs and anti-inflammatories, which are either non-steroidal or steroidal. I won't go into the details of this, but I will go into the important details of help to control every single form of arthritis. Topping the list is stress and anxiety control. Stress and anxiety reduces the body's ability to control, I think, a lot of immune reactions, but certainly to control acute arthritis. And it also helps promote the breakthroughs which occur particularly in adult rheumatoid arthritis, where you can't get the condition under control. Also remember that the eye is a very important indicator to the possibility of underlying arthritis. Even in adult arthritis, any unresolved or recurring eye infections should alert one to the possibility of underlying arthritis. Rest is vital in controlling the acute phase of the condition. But once this has been achieved and the vital factors in maintaining control then become healthy exercise, healthy lifestyle, and a healthy psychosocial environment. If that is not controlled, the long-term management will be very, very difficult.
It's very interesting that you say that there's a psychosocial component to it.
I'm insulting anybody who's listening to the program. We all have stress in our lives. We all have different ways of coping with it. Sometimes it's our joints that cut.
Okay.
Takes on the load.
Exactly. All right, let's continue.
Dietary factors, the crux of the program. Controlling the levels of uric acid and calcium oxalate have really been more important is a generally healthy Mediterranean diet, which unequivocally helps to reduce joint inflammation. This is a diet of fruit, vegetables, salad, nuts, whole grain, white fish, olive oil, and the ginger, turmeric acid, and chamomile tea. At all times, you should avoid processed food containing sugar and flour, and maintain proper hydration.
Hydration, and some water.
Thanks to you, Dr. Kassel, we created a water group with my family to remind each other to drink.
Jim knew it from the word go. When Moses struck the rock, he knew he had to give them water. So hydration is very, very important. The question of surgery. Surgery is a very difficult subject. It has its life-changing beneficial effects, but the indication for surgery need to be carefully evaluated. Far from being an expert in the orthopedic or certain types of neurosurgery in this field, I feel that one must leave the indications to the patient and the expert concerned. This applies particularly to hip or knee replacement surgery. In vertebral disc surgery, decompression of the discs is very, very effective. It's extremely effective in relieving the acute agonizing pain of prolapsed discs. And even if this cannot be done, steroids are now being injected into the vertebral spaces to produce relief for at least a 3-month period at a time. But the most important indication for surgery, in my opinion, is that the patient in all forms of surgery must earn their surgery. When the pain and suffering and the potential for skeletal deformity are of such an acute nature that the patient will feel relieved by the surgery, then the surgery is indicated. When this So these criteria are not satisfied, I'm afraid they'll curse the knee replacement, they'll curse the hip replacement, they'll curse the vertebral disc replacement, decompression. They'll say, you've made me worse. So it depends entirely on the clinical condition of the patient.
It's very interesting today because hip replacements and knee replacements are like almost like the common flu. People are going in for them, coming out for them. It looks like they have like really great results initially. I mean, I've got family members that have gone through like 5 hip replacements. Let's just change our resource type every couple of years.
Well, unfortunately, nobody's ever improved, even now, 2024, on the structure of the body, of the skin structure. The skin members of the hip replacements of Alan Lee. Contemplated such things. I'm not an advocator of this sort of thing, except to relieve debilitating conditions and conditions that cannot be controlled by any other. You have, as I say, you have to earn your surgery.
Right.
To conclude, arthritis in its many forms is a condition that has probably affected every single one of you on this program today, some stage of our lives. And many mottos can be used for this program. The Latin motto, mens sana in corpore sana, a healthy mind in a healthy body. That's very, very important. It applies particularly to arthritis. The healthy, wealthy you, but then understanding the same meaning. We have all the medicines in the world, have all the doctors in the world, have all the experts in the world. If you don't create those two situations, you will not control the condition.
I think very, very well said. And I think, that's what I'm saying. I think that a lot of people do have underlying arthritis or, an autoimmune, something that has attacked the body. And the problem is that we wait until it's too late and then we're completely depleted. And then you end up having to go for drastic measures.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Simple things of not being able to make a fist, not being able to get out of a chair, not being able to start walking, they pass it by or go over. Everything will be all right. But if you started proper exercise at that stage, and you don't even need professionals. Perhaps a biokineticist would be the right person because they teach you muscles. Out traumatizing yourself. That would be the right sort of thing to do. If you do that every morning, as I know from personal experience, you limit all forms of arthritis, all forms of degeneration.
And to do it from earlier on in your life, not to wait.
Early on in your
life. Yeah, I think that's very important. And I think that, you talk about osteoarthritis and that it's a natural progression because we've used our joints for so very long that
it's tissues age in the same way as a motor car age. If you have a motor car that's 5 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, you're going to find that the vital structures of the motor car, however much you service that motor car, obviously if you service it well, it will delay it. Mm. But it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen to people. But if you service your body properly, then it will happen later or perhaps not happen at all.
That, I think, is the crux of it, and that's where we're going to leave it, Dr. Cussell. Thank you so much again for your incredible wealth of knowledge, your patience, and your just, I call it like homemade intelligence that we should actually all go back to. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Healthy You, Wealthy Show, and we thank you for joining us. If you have any topics that you would like us to talk about, please send an email to info@ifm.com. We will try our best in order to facilitate it.